I'm going to give you three practical ways to overcome lack. If you go to my next slide here, three practical ways to overcome lack. Can I define to you what lack is? Lack is a gap between what you have and what you need. Most people, when I say lack, you think of money. I don't have enough money. Lack could be energy. It could be intelligence. It could be time. Anything that you don't have that you need. If you're single and you have this desire to be married, God can fill the gap with a godly husband or a godly wife. I thought somebody said amen right there. Amen. Well, the single people, I thought you said amen right there. If you have a lack, you do not like your job, God can either turn the one you have into something that is great for you, or he can fill the lack in your life and provide you another one. I serve a God that wants to make sure you have no lack. Somebody said no more lack.
No more lack.
Somebody said again, no more lack. I need y'all to wake up for me. Somebody say, no more lack.
No more lack.
If you're sick right now, God can fill in the gap with healing and heal your body. Somebody say, no more lack.
No more lack.
In Jesus' name. All right, I'm going to give you three things. You can follow me on the back of your program there. Three practical keys to have no lack. The first one is, if you have lack in your life, seek God. Seek him. Psalms 34 and 10 says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Anybody believe that in here? If I seek God, I'm not going to want any good thing. Why am I seeking God? I'm going to tell you one reason why you're not seeking God. God is not lost. He's not playing hide and go seek. You seek God because the more you seek him, the more you find out about him. The more you search for God, the more he shows up and shows out in your life. Can anybody testify that you sought God and he showed up on your behalf? I remember when I first started finding out about seeking God. I've been around church my entire life, but I started seeking God for certain things. And I heard a story about how God will give you favor. And I began to read the scriptures that he'll bless the righteous with favor. He'll bless the righteous, and with favor he'll encompass them as a shield. So I stopped believing God for crazy stuff. I stopped believing God when I went to the mall. I'm going to park up front. And I wasn't going to walk all the way from the back. I believe in God for favor with my teachers. And I started getting favor with my teachers. Crazy stuff started to happen when I started to expect great things. Right. I went to this place called Piccadilly's. Anybody remember Piccadilly's? It was Morrison's before that. It went from Morrison's to Piccadilly's, and it ain't nothing now. They just got an empty space there. I went to school in Chattanooga, and I walked in. I was at the one in Hickson, and I was just smiling, having a good day, and there was a Caucasian couple in front of me. And he said, "You sure are smiling today?" And I don't remember what I said back to him, and we began to talk. He said, "What's your major?" I said, "I'm a physical therapy major." I started out a physical therapy major, but anybody like me, the direction you started out in, not the one you end up in. And after three denials of getting in, I decided to do something else. I probably could have went for a fourth time, but I said, I'm not wasting my time on this. And I began to talk to him about physical therapy, and I said, "What do you do?" He said, "I'm a pharmacist." And I knew a little bit about pharmacy school. I said, "Oh, you must have went to the school in Memphis, because I think it was the only one at the time." And he began to talk to me about his life. He said, "I'm going to pay for your food today." Now, if I would have known that, I'd have got two meats, four sides, a dessert, and some tea. You know, when you're doing it yourself, I'd got one meat. I wasn't going to get no dessert that day. I was a little lean that day. But he said, "I'm going to pay for your food." Now, he paid for my food. We talked through the entire line. He said, "Can you sit and eat with us?" I said, "I can't sit and eat. I got to get back on campus for a study group." He said, "Well, come and pray with us at the table." This man didn't care about what nobody thought. I held hands with this man and his wife, and he prayed right there. He prayed over my life. To this day, I still remember what he prayed. It was the favor of God working on my behalf. Man, I got back to campus, and I told my roommate and his girlfriend, I said, "Y'all won't believe what happened. Man, this guy paid for my food at Piccadilly." We talked about this, and they said, "Stuff like that just don't happen for everybody." I said, "Yes, it will." "No, you go to church every Sunday." I said, "Listen, I may go to church every Sunday, but I have some struggles Monday through Saturday." Anybody know what I'm talking about in here? This side is the real side right here. I said, "The reason why I praise God so hard on Sundays is because you have no idea from Monday to Sunday how the Lord has to keep me." And I began to talk to him about the favor of God, and we began to argue. And I used to love to argue. And I argue with folks. Anybody ever get tired of arguing because you argue with fools? And they ain't listening to a word you say. Their mind is already set on what they're going to do. And y'all both waste the air y'all going to need at the end. So I just quit arguing. But I found out something here. I knew what I experienced. And they couldn't talk me out of my experience. As a point I live by in life, one of my good friends taught me this. You can write it down if you want to. The person who holds the experience is never at the mercy of the person who holds the argument. The person who holds the experience is never at the mercy of the person who holds the argument. I don't care what you tell me about God, you're not going to talk me out of how good he is. I've tried him and I know him. I've seen him show up. I've seen him heal. I've seen him deliver. I've seen him bring me out of situations I got myself in. So you can't tell me what won't happen when you seek God. How do you seek God? How do you seek God? You've been in church. A lot of you have been in church for a while. Some of you didn't grow up in any kind of church. But I think everybody needs to know how to seek God for themselves. Here's how you seek God. You don't just sling the word around. We sling these gospel terms around all the time. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Where's that in the Bible? I really don't know, but it sounded good when they said it. And half the stuff we say, we really can't find the scripture for it. So you don't just sling the word around. You dig into the word. What are you saying about my situation? And once I figure out what God has said about my situation, well, I used to struggle with low confidence, and the Lord told me in the Bible, he said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I should have never read that scripture right there, because now once I got a hold of that scripture, you ain't going to tell me I'm not the best thing God ever created, because God handcrafted me. He wove me into the person he wanted me to be. I may not be what you want me to be, but God made me the way I ought to be. I begin to meditate on that scripture. I begin to think about it day and night. Then I begin to ask God to speak to me through that scripture. God, what is this scripture saying to my life? What are you saying through this based on the situation I'm facing? Because many of us meditate. I'm not talking about sitting here, you got your legs crossed. I'm talking about you meditate stuff. My electric bill is due on the 10th. My son needs this. They always going on these field trips. Why they always want something? They either raising money or they want money. Somebody's off, and you meditating this stuff over and over again, and now you angry at the world. The next person come up to you, suffer the repercussion of your wrong meditation. But I begin to think the scripture, and it gets in my spirit, and I begin to ask God to speak to me about it. That's how you seek God. And then I fellowship with God. God, I don't know how it's going to work out, but your word says. You said I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I question things about myself. Why is my personality not like this? And why am I not that? But God, I worship you for the way you made me. And I'm going to trust you to show up, and I'm going to have no lack in my life. When you seek God like that, God has a way of showing up and revealing his word to you. I've heard about healing my whole life. I've seen it. People discount healing and say, well, God doesn't do this and doesn't do that. I've seen with my own eyes, and I was a young kid. A guy who walked in here, the gift of healing, he would pray. And I watched a woman, I think it was her arm that just grew. I've seen people heal God, God healed them of cancer. I've seen God do the miraculous. So I'm not going to argue with you about what God could do, but I've never seen him do it for me. I've seen him do it for others, but I've never seen him do it for me. And then I started studying his word on healing. I went to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. I'm those type of person. I don't just read the Bible from front to back. I go and I find the scripture or what it says. If I'm dealing with anger, I find every scripture on anger and I read it. I learned about healing. And Proverbs 4 and 20 says on the screen, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health. And I looked up that word health, and in some word translation said medicine to all their body. If you take medicine, you take it on a schedule. You may take your blood pressure medicine in the morning. You may have one at night. You may take your water pill, cholesterol, whatever you take it on a regimen. And I found that I can take the word of God the same way. If I have lack in my life, I read Philippians 4:19 every morning. My God shall supply all of my need, and I take it like medicine, and it worked.
Yes, sir.
Can I ask you a question here? Anybody a pharmacist in here? Anybody a pharmacist? Not one of you in here a pharmacist, right? You have no idea the chemical makeup and how it works with your body, the medicine you take, but you trust it to take it in your mouth, and you trust it to work or apply it to your body. The word of God is the same way. I don't know how it works half the time. I just know that it works, and I apply it to my life, and I see God bring me through. Can I read you one more scripture? Man, you got to be careful. I used to listen to these scriptures when I was at work, and there were times I had to go to the bathroom, and I had to tear that bathroom up. They'd be like, you all right in there? I said, yeah, I'm all right. And you come out like something, no. I'm serious. When I was facing, when I would have presentations or when pressure was on me, I would start to listen to the word, and I would listen to preaching at work, and I'd be sitting at my desk, and I had to just go out. I used to go to a park, and people would just walk out there, and I would just run. They think I'm getting exercise. They have no idea, but it was what was in my ear that was feeding my soul that produced the joy of the Lord, and everything that God wanted me to have showed up. I ran across this other scripture. And it says in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he himself bore our sins on the cross. Somebody ought to be glad for Jesus that you don't have to bear your own sins.
He said, so that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. But it says, for by his wounds we were healed. Now, I studied English for a little while. Were is a past tense. It didn't say I am healed. Didn't say I'm going to be healed. It says you were healed. That's past tense. Through what Jesus did on the cross, everything that you'll ever need, he's already provided it. And I got to stand in faith that God, I'm healed, and sickness has to leave. Yes, in the name of Jesus. I ran across this guy by the name of Kenneth Copeland, and he had this saying. He said, I am the healed of God, resisting sickness and disease. So whenever sickness comes on my body, I don't care how I feel. I say, by his stripes, I'm healed. Because sickness is not going to stay. Healing is going to stay, and I resist it in the name of Jesus. Do you know why many of us are losing right now? Because you quit fighting. You let lack get the best of you. You're letting what you're going through get the best of you. And you got to say, I resist it now in the name of Jesus. You may feel the pressure of life on you right now, but I dare you to declare, there's no lack in my life. I resist you and you are not going to stay. I know you are here, but you are not going to run my life in the name of Jesus. That's seeking God. You got to seek God. The next thing is this, you got to be generous. You got to be generous. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6, it's on the screen and it's on your paper. I want you to read it with me. Something happens when you read it. Look in your Bible. It says this. It's the Amplified Version. It says, now remember this. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows generously that blessings may come to others will also reap generously and be blessed. To sow means to give. I mean, something has to be released from my life. It's not just in my head. It's not just in my heart. I saw this couple once, and they said, when's the last time you told your wife you loved her? I told her once before. She still ought to know. Once before is not enough. How many know you got to say it over and over again? So you sow it. You got to give it. You got to release it. What do I give? I give my time, my talent, and my treasure. I give my time and my talent. I want to challenge all of you all in here. Go serve somewhere. Serve in church, serve in the community. Go invest yourself in somebody's life. Go do something beyond you. Not just so great things can come, but because you'll be surprised what will happen. You could be having the worst day of your life, but if you go help somebody else, you'll forget about your problems, and God has a way of handling your business when you handle his. I'm a living witness of that. You sow of your resources. You sow your money. I know it gets funny. People say, oh, here you go, preacher. You talking about that money again. Here's the reality. Man, I've seen God do great things when you sow your tithe and you give an offering in an act of grace. Our act of grace that we did last month, there was a lady who had suffered a mild stroke and she was out of work for a weekend. She missed $200 worth of work that weekend. Tell you what crazy happened. That Saturday, somebody walked up to her and randomly gave her $100. She walked in here in church on Sunday. We don't know how much is in the offering. We just pray over who to give it to. There was a lady who gave her an offering and gave her that gift. Guess how much was in that envelope? $100. God has a way when you sow of blessing others through your life. But you got to make it up in your mind that I am going to sow, and I'm not going to sow sparingly. I'm going to sow generously. That's quality, not quantity. One day, Barbara and I believe in God, we're going to be six-figure givers. We're going to sow tremendously. We can't do that right now. But we're going to be faithful right where we are. We're going to sow right where we are. You can't halfway sow and expect a great harvest. You can't halfway show up to work and then they ask you to do something. I get it too when you get it. You got an attitude when they ask you to do stuff, then you want the biggest bonus on the floor. No. It don't work like that. You got to sow to the level that you want to reap. 2 Corinthians 9 and 7 says this. Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose. You don't want nobody to just give you a gift and say, here. No. Best gifts are wrapped well. The presentation matters. And you got to put your heart in what you do. Just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves, somebody say, a cheerful giver. And he delights in those whose heart is in his gift. Whatever you give, y'all hear me here, put your heart in it. It don't feel right when somebody gives you something, their heart ain't in it. I love mint chocolate, hot chocolate from Dunkin' Donuts. It's a little watered down here, but boy, if you go up north, boy, it'll bless your soul. I went to the one here. It was in a, Lord, I probably shouldn't. I went to one here, but I ain't going to tell you which one it was. And the lady handed it to me, and she ain't look right when she gave it to me. And I ain't look right when I took it. I gave her money. I tasted it and looked at it. It looked like dirty dishwater. She done warmed up in the microwave. It was brown. I don't know if it was really hot chocolate. She knew it wasn't good when she gave it to me. And see, that's why she had that look on your face. If you ever get ready to say something, say, I know I shouldn't say this. I know I should. If you know you shouldn't say it, and you know you shouldn't do it, and you know you shouldn't give it, don't give it. Y'all right in here? Put your heart in what you do. I love when people put their heart in cooking. Cause I put my heart in. You know how you're eating so good, you get the rocking and humming? You put your heart in whatever. I don't know what they got to do with it. But you put your heart in what you do. I made a decision in my life. Hear me. Now I'm going to be generous. I decide that Jason Scales' life is going to be a blessing wherever I go. Because I'm a giver. And I'm not going to let lack dictate to me how I live. I'm a blessing and I can't do without. So I'm going to trust God to send me the resources to do whatever I need to do. One of the most miserable places to be is when you live a self-centered life. When your life is all about you, it's all about how you feel, and if you don't feel like doing it, you ain't going to do it, and it's all about your emotions, and you get real petty about stuff, and you shut down. Satan wins when you live like that. You got to give as you purpose in your heart and not how your situation or lack tells you to give. I am a giver. What do most people do when situations are not the best? Whether it be in your relationship or life or whatever, we stop giving. We stop communicating. We stop giving what we should. And the reality is so. You can't halfway work and expect a great blessing. Don't withhold. Sow, and you're going to reap it in the name of Jesus, because the enemy is at war with you to shut you down. Because there is a great gift of you that your job, everybody around you needs to get. But you know what life happens to most of us? You trust the biggest fool there is. You put yourself in crazy situations and you shut down, and now you can't trust nobody. And nobody gets the benefit of your smile. Nobody gets the benefit of your heart because you've been through such crazy situations. But trust God for the wisdom that he will put you in the place to be generous. Is it all right in here? The next thing is this, 2 Corinthians 9:8. Get where I'm going. It said, and God is able to make all grace. Yeah. Every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to me, so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need. Anybody love the word of God? Have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely sufficient in him, and have an abundance for every good work and act of charity. Generous people have an expectation of God's best wherever they go. They expect God to show up in their home, in their careers, and in their family. I believe that the favor and the grace of God shows up in every situation. Why? Because I am a giver, and I'm determined to give. Let me show you how it works. We do something for the last couple years called the Big Give. I can't remember what happened in 2014, but in 2015 and 2016, something great happened. We raised $5,000 in 2015, and we went to the Walmart right here on Church Street. We handed out gift cards. We paid off railways. And we blessed the community of Murfreesboro with $5,000, just randomly hand out gift cards. Let me tell you what happened that next Sunday. That next Sunday, this gentleman walked up to one of the deacons or somebody. He said, hey, I want to give this to y'all. He gave us $1,000 cash because he loved what we were doing. Crazy thing happened. I got an envelope in the mail. And this gentleman in Shelbyville heard what we were doing and said, I just want to bless y'all as well. Gave us another $1,000. When you put yourself in a generous place, you will attract the favor of God on your life. Somebody say, it ain't all about money. No, it's not about money. It's about resources. I dare you to sow a smile at work tomorrow and see when people speak to you. You walking in just looking mad at the world and now nobody talk to you. There's a reason why. Sow what you want to reap in the name of Jesus. That was 2015. In 2016, I made a bold declaration. I said, we're going to double what we've been raising. I said, this year for the Big Give, we're going to raise $10,000. About that last Sunday, no, we weren't right there at $10,000. We were several, somebody say several thousand short. And I was going to have to come out here and tell you all. And y'all notice I probably delayed it for a few Sundays. And I was like, Lord, it ain't come through this year. And I was going to say, well, we tried hard. We raised, I think, like $5,700. Deacon Scales walked up with a card. He said, we've been getting Christmas cards and stuff in the mail. He said, there's one with your name on it. I opened up that card, and inside of that card, I read it, but a check fell out. That check was for the exact amount that we needed, and it made it, but it's right there at $10,000. I'm going to clap on that myself. I don't know how it happens, but when you put yourself in a place to be generous, God always sends provision to vision. But if you don't have vision, don't expect provision. Pro means before, vision means to see. God has already saw beforehand what you were going to need for your vision, and he will send provision when you put yourself in a generous mindset. I don't know how it happens. I just know that it happens. And look at your neighbor and say, it will happen for you. Come on, somebody that need God to show up in their life, say, it will happen for me. Somebody declared, I will have no lack in any area of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. The last thing, and I'm through, is this. You got to be patient. I was doing good with God, was seeking God. I was doing good with being generous. But this one right here, y'all pray for me, y'all. If there's one thing that I'm struggling, if you ask Isaiah and you ask Barbara, they probably pray this for me daily. Lord, give me patience. Because I want it done right then for everybody else. But for me, I need a little grace. Anybody live that way? You want everybody to do it yesterday? But when it come to you, you need a little time? Y'all pray for me. I'm still struggling there. But here's what patience is. Patience is not waiting idly, wishing and hoping something would happen. Patience is waiting for what's supposed to happen to happen. Patience says, I know what God's going to do. I just need him to do it. Here's the challenge with patience. You know that gap? Can you go back, Sister Veronica, to the slide about lack? The second slide about lack. Here's what happens. What's the image? You see that gap or lack? Most of us try to play God, and we settle for what's available, and we instead of waiting on God's best. And when we have lack, you start trying stuff. You start trusting your own way to do it, and you got to trust God that I can't live without you. I can't breathe without you. And I hear you preaching, I got to do something. I know you got to do something. But wait on God to tell you what to do. Can you go back to the be patient? Let's look at James chapter 1 and verse 2. James 1 and 2 says this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind. That almost sounds crazy. How am I going to be happy when I'm going through hell? How am I going to be happy when life is not comfortable for me right now? Here's what I found out. How you go through is just as important as what you go through. And you don't have to go through kicking and screaming. Your life may not be perfect right now, but you don't have to look like what you're going through. Can I say that again? You don't have to look like what you're going through. What you're going through doesn't have to dictate how you dress, how you live, and your attitude. You can count it all joy. You could be at a point where you don't feel like praising God. God, I don't want to praise you today. If I go to church and they tell me, look at my neighbor might as well just go on and look the other way. I'm not looking at my neighbor today. They say clap, you say, that's all you got today, Reverend. Lift your hand. You do just like this and put it right back. You ain't even lifting to Jesus. You just been funny and lifting it like this. You ain't saying amen. I ain't taking no notes. You ought to be glad that I'm here. You ain't worshiping God in your private time. But I found out the best time to praise God is when you don't feel like praising it. It's the time when you just say, God, it is crazy right now in my life, but I will trust you. I will bless you at all times. And your praises shall continually be in my mouth. I worship you right now. Is there anybody going through any kind of pressure right now in your life? I dare you just to take 30 seconds and lift your hands, clap them, open your mouth, and say, God, I bless you. God, I thank you. I don't know how it's going to work out, but God, I know. I'm going to just do the first part of the scripture. I'm going to count it all joy. I'm going to worship you because I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. So, God, I thank you in advance. You're good for it, and I worship you right now in the name of Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, count it joy. I felt that one right there. Look at somebody else and say, count it joy. And some of you with that person I talked about said they were not going to talk to your neighbor. Well, talk to yourself and say, count it joy. You know, a real saint of God, you can't keep them down. The Bible says the more they afflicted the children of Israel, the more they grew. The children of God are like baby's kids. We don't die, we multiply. The more we go through, the harder we work. The more we praise, the more we open up my mouth. And some of you, the enemy don't understand you because you should be locked up in a crazy house right now, just bobbing your head and slobbering. But you got a nerve to open your mouth and say, God, I will bless you and I'll praise your name. God been good to anybody in here?
Yeah.
How many old times praises just say, God, you are worthy to be praised. Yeah. 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 Your praise, it honestly does. It confuses the enemy. Because you should be cussing somebody out. No, you should be. No, you. Some of you know your family line. There's no way you should be looking as good as you do. So some of you know the stuff that has happened in your life. Some of you know you have no business sitting here today. But God covered you. God protected you. When the enemy thought he was going to take you out, you tell the enemy you should have killed me when you had a chance. But it's too late now. My heart is fixed and my mind is made up. All right, I got stuck right there. I'm going to count it joy. Y'all sit down. But touch your neighbor and say, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it out. Count. Can you count? I got a problem on my job. One, count it all joy. It may not be right in my body. Number two, count it all joy. My mind is messing up right now, but count it all joy. Things may not be great in your marriage right now, but count it all joy. My kids may be messing up, but count it all joy. Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, he's greater than my problems. He's greater than my mistakes. So I count it all joy. Hallelujah. Y'all sit down. I got a couple more points. One of the first things they ever taught you was how to count. And some of us act like we forget. But when you go get through, you better get up your counting skills. And matter of fact, instead of counting your problems, count your blessings. And name them one by one. James 1 and 3 says this. I don't want to leave that point, but I got to go where I'm going. Whew. Why am I counting it all joy? Because the Bible says in James 1 and 3, you know. The world may not know. Everybody else may be looking at you crazy, but you know. Everybody else is telling you to quit throwing the towel. This ain't working out, but you know. Look to your neighbor and say, you ought to know. Here's what I know, that the testing of my faith produces perseverance. I know something that the world doesn't know. I know that this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. I know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I'm not going crazy because I know something. I know the perseverance is working in my life. I don't stop at no. I keep going because this is not the end of the world. College students, your money may run out in school. Your kids may go crazy. You may not have things in your life, but you know something that the world doesn't know. And the world quits. The world throws in the towel, but you sit there with blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. He is going to work it out on your behalf. Last point, and I'm through. He said, you got to let perseverance finish. And let it work so that you may be mature and complete, wanting nothing. We used to sing a song when I was growing up, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Some of you ought to declare that with your cussing self, with your mean self, with your fickle self. And say, I'm a work in progress, but please be patient with me. God still got me on the potter's wheel. He's still molding me and shaping me. I'm not all the way there yet, but God is doing something greater than me. And if you like seeing me in this state, you might want to take a picture, because where I am, I won't be anymore. Because when God gets through with me, I'm a living witness. I shall come out as pure gold. Stand to your feet all over the building.